Good morning. How's everybody doing? Loving this weather?
Yeah.
You better. It is what it is, right? Might as well love it. I love it. How about them Gators? Go Gators. Bill told me he was praying and fasting the last quarter and just interceding on that goal line stance. So I don't know if it was the Gators or prayer, but it worked. Well, God bless you. Yes, today is part two of a series called Pray Big Prayers. In your worship guide, there's notes, but if you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers have some extra ones they'd love to give you. If you have your notes from last week, you can use them because we stopped in the middle, so we're going on. But if you weren't here last week, I'll fill in the blanks for you. We'll go back over the first blanks and continue on. But we want to talk about praying big prayers. I really believe that God wants us as Christians to pray big prayers. And I really believe that the devil doesn't want us praying those same prayers. The dream and the desire that God has for our lives, I believe that God's put something on the inside of every one of us that's unique to us, unique to our gift, our calling, the way that God created us. The Bible says that he formed you in your mother's womb. The thing I know about God is he's awesome. He's incredible. And he's a God of detail and a God of structure and a God of order. And nothing happens just by accident. Did you know nothing catches God by surprise? And when he formed you in your mother's womb, he had a purpose for you. And there's something on the inside of you that he hasn't put on the inside of anybody else. And I've come to believe that the dreams and the desires and the plans that we have in our heart that are from God are bigger than anything that you and I can accomplish with our own strength. Now, there are things that are just part of the fabric of life that you're supposed to do, but there's something in your life that is so big that it will take a miracle for it to come to pass. It's more than what you and I can just do in our own thinking and say, yeah, there's one dream on the inside of every one of us that you can't just look at it and go, oh, I can see how I can do that. It's something that you look at and go, I don't see how I could do that. Because it's going to require our full participation and God's full participation. He has to add super to our natural. And that's where the big prayers come in. And so there's a devil loose. How many of you know there's a devil loose? It's very clear. It's very obvious. From the Garden of Eden, God cast the devil out of heaven down to earth as a strategic plan to allow us to be able to use moral fortitude, the ability to choose good over evil. And right from there, a plan was set in motion by God, and the devil has hated the plans of God from that moment on. You have an adversary, and you have to pray big prayers. The Bible is full. If we go back from the beginning and go through the whole book, you'll see big prayers being prayed. You see a Red Sea being parted. You see a man named Joshua who prayed a ridiculous prayer, utterly ridiculous. He was trying to do what God told him to do, and he wasn't finished, and the sun was going down, and he commanded the sun to stop right in its place. Yeah, just think about that. I want you to know God is not offended by audacious prayers. He looks at our heart and the intent. Joshua was trying to accomplish the purpose of God, and he said, "Sun, stand still." That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But you know what? God answered that prayer. The Bible says for 24 hours, the sun stood still. Do you know what God has to do? He can do anything. He's just looking for someone to act in faith, and he's standing there to support us, to reinforce us. And he said, I don't care how dumb he is, and he doesn't know what it takes to stop the sun. It doesn't take stopping the sun. He's asking me to stop the rotation of the earth for 24 hours. The scientists say if you slow down the rotation of the earth by 1%, the seas come out of their beds and swallow the earth. I mean, all kinds of things go crazy. But God says, I'll support those whose heart is fully mine, no matter how much they understand. But if they know their motive, if I know their motive is right, and they know they're trying to do something for me, there's no prayer too big that I won't answer. That's the kind of God that we serve, and that's what we're talking about, praying big prayers. God's not offended by big prayers. And to help us in our faith, and I asked you to take these notes home last week and meditate on this passage of scripture, and we're going to go back to this one simple prayer by a guy named Jabez, But there's only three mentions of that name. One is a city by that name, and then these two verses where this guy's name is mentioned. But the important thing was that God answered his prayer. So we're breaking it down and saying that since God's no respecter of persons, what he's done for others, he'll do for me. If I observe the principles that are exposed to us in this prayer, then God will do for me what he did for him, right? So let's look at the prayer again. And then I give you some fill in the blanks in your notes. I see 9 components in these two verses that are essential for us to understand to get our prayers answered. So we'll break it. First, we'll read the whole thing, and then we'll break it down. Now Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10, it's in your notes there. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." He asked for 5 things, but there's 9 parts to this prayer that caused the 5 requests to be answered. That you would bless me indeed, you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So the first of the 9, we already covered 5, but I'll give you the fill in the blanks here. The first was, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That has to do with character. Now, if you missed last week, it's on the website. You can go and you can get the meat behind these fill in the blanks. Character. But it always starts here. This is the first thing to examine in our life when we're praying big prayers. I want you to pray big prayers, but the first thing you have to look at is our character. Now, some of you say, well, I know some characters in this church, and I believe you. I know there are some characters. Everybody's got character. Everybody's got character. It's just a matter whether it's a character that God can bless. It's having the right kind of character, godly character, good character. There's good character, and then there's bad character. And all of us are a mixture of 2 components in our life that make up our character, vices and virtues. And in our journey as Christians, what we're trying to do is replace our vices with virtues. And it's a lifelong process. Amen? I don't believe anybody ever arrives, but we're always on a journey. And this year I should be doing better than last year, and this week better than last week. And I never just kind of park and say, I made it. I say, okay, I still got more to work on. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's always more to work on. But we're replacing our vices with virtues. A vice is a moral failure or moral ineptitude, and a virtue is moral excellence. And we want those in our life. So I would start off by saying, how's your character? And we should ask ourselves that. How's my character? What is the sum total? It is. It's a balance of all my weaknesses and all my strengths, all the things that I've given into and the things that I've overcome. And be encouraged. I like what the guy said. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what God wants me to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Can anybody know what I'm talking about? And so you just keep on working. And we're trying to improve our character. But how's your character? That's, I think, a way to start our prayer with a little self-examination. As David did often in the Psalms, he examined himself. He said, search me, O Lord. What would your boss say about your character? What would your roommate say about your character? Just put yourself in their position. Say, they might see some flaws in your character. Well, how about your spouse? Or if you're a young person, how about your parents? What would they say about your character? Character is what you are when no one's looking. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Now, this is going to be important as we travel down this prayer, because he asks for some big fiscal, financial, material blessings. And you have to get your heart in the right place with the character question, is that we have to be sure if we're asking for money. See, a lot of people get confused and they say money is the root of all evil. Anybody ever heard that? The Bible doesn't say that. It's close, but there's missing a little bit out of there. Money is an inanimate object. It's neither good nor bad. So money can't be evil in itself. It's our hearts that are good or evil. But what the Bible does say is the love of money, it doesn't say it's the root of all evil. It says the root of all sorts of evil. There are other roots to evil. But it's one main category, but it's not the money. It's our attitude toward it. It's putting the money above our expectations of God. It's imbalance in our worship. Now, that's one thing to look at in character that the Bible talks about. Let your character be free from the love of money. So it's all about motives. I talked about last week, one guy could be praying for a 747, another guy praying for a donkey. And we got to be careful not to judge people's prayers because we don't know the motive of their hearts. The guy praying for the 747, it's an unselfish prayer. And the guy praying for the donkey, it's a selfish prayer. It's not the size of the prayer. It's what's going on inside of our heart. And so the next thing in this prayer, in these two verses, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Again, go back to next week. We talk more about that. We don't know exactly what caused her pain, but we just know that it affected her so much that that's the name she gave him. That's his name. It means grieving or sorrowful. He caused grief. He carried that his whole life. Can you imagine that? So the next fill in the blank is overcoming negative pronouncements. And we've all had this in our life, usually at a young age. It could have been somebody who meant to do us harm. More often, it's something that somebody just said off the cuff, and the devil takes it down into our heart and says, yeah, that's you. Identify yourself with that negative pronouncement. And you have to go back and break those things over your life. Very important. You'll carry them. And he broke this. He's in his prayer, because I bore him in pain. You'll see later on in the prayer, he says, I don't want to cause any more pain. I want to change the trajectory of my life. And I would submit to you today that to change the trajectory of your life, you have to go back and dig up those negative pronouncements that have been spoken over you, see them for what they are, an attack of the devil who doesn't mean for your good, destroy them, cast them down, see what God says about you, replace it with what God says about you, and go forward in victory. Yeah. So again, I told you a story last week about Billy Hornsby, just kind of brings it home. It happens to every one of us in this room. You got to, and you know, I can identify with that. I remember the day I was born. How many of you remember the day you were born? I remember the doctor carrying me into the room in his arms. And he says, Mr. and Mrs. DeCana, I'm really sorry. We did everything we could, and he still pulled through. I mean, that's the way I started my life out, with that hanging over my head. My dad, in his wallet, instead of my picture, he would always keep the picture that came with the wallet. You talk about insecurity. I just show that to people. That's my family right there. So I understand insecurity. You know, having those kind of, I was so insecure growing up, I couldn't watch football on television. Every time they had a huddle, I had to run up to the TV and see if they were talking about me. You can go through all those kind of things in your life. You might feel like the piano player in the marching band. You know, nothing, everything goes right. People are all against you. But there is a way to overcome that, and we have to go back. And that's why we have small groups. And that's why we have a particular small group called the Freedom Group that has a book that you go through. And I'm telling you, after I've been through inner healing and deliverance and healing of the memories for 40 years, 42 years. And I remember last year we went through that book, and God's still revealing stuff just as I'm reading that book and teaching the class when we had it over here. I'm teaching the class, and during the week I'm just bawling my eyes out reading this. God's bringing stuff up. It's a never-ending journey. I encourage you, get in a freedom group and then do it once a year. Just keep going back to that. Read that book. Go over that. Pray before the Holy Spirit and let him bring stuff up. It's a very important part of our journey. The next statement, Jabez called on the God of Israel. And that fill in the blank is love God. That's the first commandment that Jesus said. And it's our first value as a church to love God. That has to be a high priority. Jabez called on the God of Israel. So it's important to call on the right God when you're going through challenges in your life, because there are many other gods, false gods, wrong gods that you can call on. We went to plant a church at UCLA back in 1981 and in Hollywood. I taught in Hollywood and Los Angeles. People worship all kinds of gods down there. I mean, most people, most waiters and waitresses in restaurants, they believe that they're going to get their break one day. They're aspiring actors and actresses. And I tell you, they worship the god of fame and fortune. And I've been in the homes of billionaires that a month later, a guy blew his brains out because those things don't bring satisfaction. You can easily worship the wrong gods. Jabez was pointed in the right direction. He prayed to the God of Israel. It's very important to you, for you and me, not to worship the gods of this world, not to worship the thing that So many institutions of today point us in the wrong direction, and not to get confused by that and think my answer is in this or that or this person or a political institution or an education or thank God for all those things, but we have to worship the true and living God. He called on the God of Israel. I would submit to you that at the bottom of your prayer needs to be you're trusting in God, not in somebody. If this person would, if they just get their act together, I'll be all right. No, your future doesn't hinge upon somebody doing the right thing. It hinges upon God releasing His power on your behalf. That's a much better position to be in than to be waiting for somebody to apologize or somebody to recognize me or somebody to give me my just desserts. No, put your faith in God. He's unlimited, and He can release His power on your behalf. Jabez called on the God of Israel. That's where we have to go. He didn't call on the God of revenge. He wasn't mad at his mother for giving. What kind of mother? That's what she names her child. But he didn't blame his mother. He looked to God. He moved on. The God of Israel, not the God of this world. The next part of the prayer says, saying, oh, this is the beginning of his petitions now. That had been set up by the previous conditions. He starts asking for five things. And the first thing is that you would bless me indeed. We talked about last week. That's a mark put on the word in the Hebrew, which means five times. Amplify it five times. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me is what he said. You might think that's audacious. No, it's not, because God answered his prayer. It's okay to ask God to bless you. And that's in your fill in the blank there is to expect favor. Expect favor from God. It's just a kind of a general overarching. See, some of us carry this general overarching failure. Like everything's, we have this, everything's going to, if anything, you know, just what's it called? Murphy's Law. We just carry that around like a badge. Oh, yeah, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. That's the devil's thinking. He's trying to get that. Don't say that ever again. Don't say, well, my bread falls, it falls butter side down. No, my bread falls, it falls on a napkin, the right side up, and I pick it up and I can keep eating. You know, speak good things over yourself. Don't keep speaking the bad thing. Oh, that's always, oh, that's the way it always goes. Yeah, that's my luck. No, change it. No, good things happened to me. The other day, Rebecca went to Best Buy and bought this TV for Rachel to put on her wall in her bedroom. So obviously they didn't put it on the wall. I had to put it on the wall. So it took about, I don't know, it took a while to find the stud and get it in, you know, the plaster wall. And I get it all hooked up. I should have done this first. Got it all mounted. Plug it in. Doesn't work. I take it all down. Put it back in the box. Take it back to Best Buy, right? She takes it back to Best Buy. See, expect favor. Now, so she takes it back. And they're so apologetic, they say, we're going to give you a discount. And then the other guy says, give her the Black Friday price. Yeah. What's Green Wednesday? It's 2 weeks ahead of time. There's this, you know, this is earlier in the week. He says, give her the Black Friday price. And the guy goes, you sure? Yeah, okay. Gave it. It was like a third of the original. People stay up all night in tents, camping out, fighting each other to get the Black Friday. And it's going to be gone because we already got it. Because it's favor. Favor. God's favor. Just expect favor. Bless me and just bless me. You know, if I go, just pray for the first. I don't care. I like to park far away and walk. But I have friends that they won't park six spaces down. They believe for the front. I mean, that's where their faith is. Go for it, man. Expect favor. Get the front parking place. Believe for good things, the best seat. Expect favor from a God who can do anything. Then he says, enlarge my territory. This is the things he's asking for. Favor. Believe for favor. Next thing, enlarge my territory. And again, you might look at that and go, oh, who's this guy? You got enough already. You got more than 90% of the world already, and you want more? Don't judge by that. Judge by the motive, and you don't know his motive, so just don't judge. Let God figure it out. But the Bible says God gave him what he asked for. So God enlarged his territory. See, the question is, why do you want it? And if you say, now, we read that your character be free from the love of money, being content with you have. Now, some people can't get the two together, but they go together very easily. You can be content where you're at, and you say, God, if this is, you know, this is all I ever have, I'm happy. But you know, if I had such, I would do this. It's part of your dream. There's always something between where you're at now and fulfilling your dream. There's something of a material nature that has to come to pass, that the devil will fight you tooth and toenail and just tell you you're just being selfish. And if you are, get rid of it. And then if you're not, stand firm and keep believing till that prayer comes to pass. God's not afraid to enlarge your territory. Look, he made the earth. He made everything that's in it. That's what the Bible says. God's not a poor God. He's the God, the Bible says, who's more than enough. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. And even in theology, we try to make God to be some kind of poor God. And you have to rip out a lot of your Bible, because it tells me opulence is in heaven. The streets are paved with gold. That means nothing to God. He wants you to accomplish your purposes. He wants you to accomplish your purposes. One time Jesus needed some money, and he said, you know what they're asking me for? It's not even right. But let's not offend them. He said, just go throw a hook in the sea and pull out a fish, and you're going to find a coin there. Go pay our debts. God could do it. He can do it. Enlarge my territory. So the fill in the blank there was prosperity. Now this brings us into new territory. We covered all that last week. Now look at this, what he said, that your hand, listen, this is very insightful, and this is where a lot of Christians miss it. They get hung up on the stuff. Even doing good stuff for God, which that's wonderful. But you know what? God just doesn't want you doing stuff for him. He wants you to do stuff with him. He wants us to have this attitude right here, that he said, you know what? I'm praying for stuff. I'm shaking off the baggage of the past. But look, your hand's got to be with me. It's like this guy Moses. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. The fill in the blank right there is God's presence. If you and I don't have a hunger for God's presence, we're missing the core of Christianity. Christianity isn't just a better system of rules and regulations than the other guy. Christianity is not us looking at other religions and going, I see your rules and regulations, I got better rules and regulations. No, it's the ability to have a personal relationship with the God who created you. That's what makes us different than every other religion. And if you miss that, Christianity will be very frustrating. It will be very difficult. It'll be very painful. And you'll do it in drudgery instead of joy. Look at this right here. This is not printed in your notes, so I left some spaces in the back. Just jot down this reference here. It'll be up on the overhead. It's Exodus chapter 33. And you know the story of Moses, God's deliverer. The people of Israel, God's people, are slaves for 430 years in Egypt. God raises up Moses, sends him back to Pharaoh with the 10 signs and wonders, brings the people out through the Red Sea into the wilderness. And there's a cloud that covers them by day and a fire by night, the symbol that he's with them and he's protecting them. He's watching over them. And that's what guides them. When the cloud moves, they move. They follow the cloud. In Exodus chapter 20, Moses goes up to the mountain and God gives him the Ten Commandments, remember? And when he comes down, after just 40 days, the people are just doing crazy stuff. They've made a golden calf. They're having crazy parties. This is just ridiculous. God gets really upset. And he says, prior to this little passage here, first he wants to kill them all. And Moses talks him out of that. Think about that for a little while. And then he says, okay, I'm going to send you up and I'm going to send my angel before you. Now watch this. And Moses went into the tent. This is before the tabernacle was erected. He had a tent. They called it the tent of meeting, where he would go meet God and talk to God. Moses went into the tent. The pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. Is that cool or what? While the Lord spoke with Moses. Now, look, they weren't even saved in the Old Testament, right? Their sins were not removed. They were atoned for by the shedding of innocent blood in faith that the Messiah, the Lamb of God, would come and actually remove sin. Now, we live in the new covenant. Our sins are already removed. That's why he lives on the inside of us. That's why he had to speak to them audibly, because they weren't spirit-filled. Their spirit was not actually regenerated. So he didn't actually live in them the way he lives in us. And it come down while the Lord spoke with Moses. The Lord, look at this, would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I want to submit to you that as Christians in the New Testament, where Jesus has rent the veil of the temple and the presence of God has come out from the Holy of Holies and out from the Ark of the Covenant and come and live on the inside of us, this is our goal, is to speak with God face to face. Not just to pour out all our requests and then get up and leave and just moan and groan and cry and complain about to God as if he doesn't care, but to actually speak as a friend. That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. Friend. And look, we'll pick it up a few verses later in verse 15. It says, and Moses said to him, now remember, he said, I'm going to send an angel. Now most of us would be, whoo, that's pretty good. How many of you like to have an angel going before you? Yeah. Not Moses. Look what he said. He said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up. I ain't going with no angel. I didn't buy into this for an angel. I came into this for a relationship with you. And if you're not going with me, just kill me right here. Just leave me right here. Just leave me in the wilderness. I'm not going, because what's more important to me than being president of millions of people, being the king of everything, or having all this stuff, what's more important to me than all this stuff is you, God. And I'm not leading a bunch of people without you, because that's the only thing that really matters. So when we start thinking about our big prayers, is the bottom of our big prayer, I just want more, God. Or we just want more stuff. Or we just want some kind of position. We just want some kind of accolades. Or we just want the face of God. He said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people, look at this, from all other people on the face of the earth? You know, what should we be known for? Our stance on righteousness and the issues of the day and how we fight for what's right? Or, you know, and that's all good. You know, oh, how holy I am and how much my life has changed. That's all good. Or should it be, wow, oh, that guy knows God. That guy hears from God. That lady walks with God. What do we want to be? What does he say? This is the mark. Not that we're a small group of people, we can conquer enemies 10 times bigger than us. But he said, don't remove your presence, because that's what people are looking at. And I know your heart is for the world. I got to have your presence, or your will not be accomplished in the earth. And the Lord, look at this. He told him, I'm not going with you. I'm sending an angel. And Moses said, you got to go with me. And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you've asked, because I'm pleased with you. How's that for your theology? That a man changed the mind of God? Or did God say it to test him? Did God test Moses' heart by saying, you know what, these people are stiff-necked, I'm going to kill every single one of them except you, and I'm going to make you new? That sounds to me like a pretty good deal. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good deal. Yeah, I never liked these people anyway, and they were mocking him, you know? Yeah, go ahead, make me some new ones. They're going to be a lot better. You know what? He said, no, God, don't do that. People will make fun of you. Yeah, I'd like to have a new batch. I don't like that they're mocking me and making fun of me because I went up in the mountain and all this kind of stuff and I had to put a veil over. I don't like that either. But I'm more concerned about your reputation than my reputation, and don't do it. And God changed his mind. How's that? Or was it a test to see if Moses would bite? And God was testing his heart. And what kind of things in our life were we going through today? It's just a test to see what will make us crumble and what will make us stand. Do we still believe the stuff that we sing about? Do we really believe that God's going to come through? Do we really believe that? How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Yeah, do you really act like that all week? Or do we go home and cry, God doesn't care about me and everything's going wrong? Is it just a test like Moses? Moses' heart was for God, was to have God. And he's not the only one. Look at this in Philippians chapter 3. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says the same thing. Look at this. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. He says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of what? Of winning more souls, of raising people from the dead, of healing the sick, of making the lame to walk, the blind to see. No, well, what's motivating him in all the great missionary ventures that he's gone, all the challenges that he's faced, what's motivating him is these words right here, the value of knowing Christ Jesus. I'll do whatever it takes to know him better, to know the fellowship of his sufferings, to do what he wants me to do. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Moses said, I got to have his presence. Paul said, I got to have his presence. For you and I to pray big prayers and get God to answer them, we got to check our character, and we got to have at the bottom of our heart, do I want God's presence above anything else? You know, it's really about him. Whatever you're going through right now in life, it's a test. It's a preparation for eternity. And eternity will be seeing God face to face and being in his presence. So he's testing us. Next thing he says is that you would keep me from evil. So this, the fill in the blank here, is spiritual warfare, which in our series, you asked for it, where we asked you guys to tell us what you want. One of your top questions was to learn about spiritual warfare. So I just point you in direction. Go back a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and listen to that. So I don't want to spend a half hour just talking about spiritual warfare. It's very real and it's very important. And he understood it. He said, keep me from evil. Jesus made it part of the Lord's Prayer to keep me from evil. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Pray for God's protection. Be aware of the devil's schemes. There is a devil loose. Also, keep me from wandering. David prayed that often. Move on to the next one. The next one, that I might not cause pain. The fill in the blank for this one is blessed to be a blessing. Blessed. He's asking for some big things, and now he reveals the motive of his prayer. He's saying, in my opinion, in looking at this thing, he's saying, I caused my mother pain to the extent that she put that as a moniker over me for my life. And I've been reminded of that all my life. And I want to change the trajectory of my life. And I'm asking for some big things so that I can not be a pain to people anymore. Wouldn't you like to be in I love that prayer in Deuteronomy 28 that Moses prays over the people by the direction of God. They make them the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and lend and not borrow. Is there anything wrong with praying that instead of me always being needy and asking and needing stuff from other people, that, Lord, that you would bless me so that I could be a source of blessing to other people? Amen. That's what he's saying. He says, I don't want to be a drain. I don't want to be a draw. I don't want to be a negative. I want to be blessed so that I can be a source of flowing out stuff coming out of me. I want to be a source of blessing. I want you to bless me, not to just to bless me, but I want to be blessed to be a blessing. That's the proper motive in this prayer, and that's what he says. And that's where the stuff that you're going through right now is to increase your capacity to receive blessing. God's got to test you like he tested Moses, like he tested Paul, like he's tested everyone that's ever lived on the planet to see what our motive is, that we want his presence, and that we're asking for stuff not for us, but so we can glorify his name. Testing our capacity. Look at this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1. This is Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to the land which I will show you. He's asking him to leave security from a city, Terah, that was built by his father and comforts and all the stuff, and just take a tent and take his family and go out, and he doesn't even tell him where he's going. He's asking him to trust him. He says, I'm going to make you, but there's a promise here. I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so you shall be a blessing. You see, there it is. I'm going to do great stuff for you so you can be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Think about that for your family. I believe God wants to bless your family because there's families associated with you, families looking at you. Families that know you, that need a blessing. And the blessing is going to come from God, but it might flow through you to them, and you can point them to God and say, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving this word to you. I'm giving this thing to you. I'm giving this blessing to you because God has blessed me. So he blessed Abraham so that he could be a blessing. Very clear, blessed to be a blessing. And then the next part of the prayer says, God granted him what he requested. And again, we wouldn't even be studying this prayer if that line wasn't in there. Because then we would look at it and go, oh, that's just a selfish prayer. That's a bad prayer. No, but God granted him what he requested. So we know that he met conditions for God to release his power, and if we meet these same conditions, God granted him what he requested. The fill in the blank there is answered prayer. How many love to have answered prayer? You know, sometimes you have to keep praying and not give up. We never know the time lag of the test that we're going through. It's never as soon as we expect it. Look at the great men and women of God. I mean, people say Moses waited 40 years. Actually, he waited 80 years. He was 80. I mean, he was, you know, 80 years before God could trust him, really put the power that needed to be put on him, in him. Abraham, we say he waited 25 years. Yeah, he waited 25 years to have the child, but he waited more like 70 years because he was married for so many years. They never had children. He's waiting. He got the promise. Even after the promise, he had to wait 25. You look at any man or woman of God in the Bible that God used, there was always a period of trial and test and formation. So we have to follow this pattern, and God will grant our request. Be encouraged by that. Look at this in Mark chapter 11. Jesus speaking, verses 22 and 24. Jesus reaffirms this. Look at this. Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Let's get the conditions right. Let's check our motives. Let's watch our character. Let's find the dream of God. Let's pray big prayers, and you have to hook your faith up to it. You have to hook your faith up to it. It's faith is simply taking God at his word, believing that God's not a liar, believing he's going to do what he said he would do. Whereas we have to hook our faith. And he says, have faith in God. Now he's responding to the night before he cursed a fig tree, and the next morning it's dried up from the roots, and they're amazed. And here's his response to something happening that he spoke. Have faith in God. And he explains it. He expounds on it a little more. Let's look at the next verse. He says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what's the mountain? I mean, it's ridiculous to think you can move a mountain. That's what he's saying. Nothing's too big for God. That's what he's saying. There's a mountain that has to be moved for you to get from where you are to where you want to be. That's the mountain. So if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, get out of my way. Get out of my way. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen. What happened to Jabez? God granted him what he requested. Look at Jesus making it more clear. He said, it shall be granted him. You can't pray too big a prayer. You can have a misdirected prayer, but it can't be too big. But the motive has to be right. And then we have to hook our faith to it. And what will happen? It shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. Now, why did he use the past tense? Because everything that we need was provided on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. You don't have to manufacture it. God knew from the beginning of time, before he created time, what our need would be. And Jesus paid the price for everything that we needed on an old rugged cross. He looked ahead, he paid the price in every area of life. Check it out, Isaiah 53, spirit, soul, and body, everything that we would need in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, in the emotional realm, he purchased it. And that's why he said, where was I? Therefore I say, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. I have received them. And they shall be, then it will come to pass. And they shall be, there it is again, granted you. Believe that what you're praying for was purchased on the cross. And he said you could move a mountain. That's crazy. But you have to identify the mountain that's standing between you and God's plan and purpose for your life. Speak to it. Don't quit speaking to it. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe and keep speaking. How long? Until the mountain moves. Did anybody get anything out of this? Let's pray big prayers. Let's shake off the limitations. And let me tell you, everybody's got stuff that has been put on you that needs to be shaken off. Let's just, you know, get in prayer. Get in a small group. Get some friends. Get that book, the Freedom Book, and start examining that. And go back through your life. You remember some things you remember and some things you don't. There's some things that have been spoken over you that you think about it every day. And that one you already know. Take it to the Lord. Get rid of it. But I want to tell you, there's stuff that you don't remember. I know that's true for me, that I've totally forgotten, that the Holy Spirit will bring it up. And usually that takes some help and somebody helping you through that. And that's what freedom groups are all about. You've got to shake off the limitations. We've got to deal with our own character. But we've got to pray big prayers and believe for big answers. Lord, just stir up the things in our heart that maybe we've let lay dormant, because the devil has stolen it from us and convinced us that it's not from you. Help us to develop our character to the point where we are someone that you can bless. Help us to pray big prayers, Lord God. Even put them in our heart and our mind, the things that we want to believe for. And help us never to give up, never to give up, never to give up. There's things I've been praying for many, many years. I'm not going to give up. I've been tempted to give up. It looked like it never was going to happen. And the Holy Spirit always says, don't give it up. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. I'm saying that to you. Don't give it up. Keep praying big prayers. Believe God for big things. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless every person that's here. Bless our dreams. Bless our heart. Help us to deal with our past and shake off the hindrances of the past. Help us to walk with you and desire your presence like never before. Your presence, Lord. I just pray for everybody here to have a new hunger in this Christmas season as we're entering into the end of the year that's setting the pace for next year. Just give us a greater hunger for you than we've ever had in our lives. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I got a very important question. It's this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here and you say, I don't know. I think so. Hope so. Not sure. You know, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And you might say, well, does anybody know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get it? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you got to be born again. What does that mean? It means there comes a time in your life and you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes and he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's as simple as that. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. You might be here today. You say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God, and I want to make a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick, and I'm going to lead you to prayer. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's a fresh day, a new start. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God on a new track.